Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, a cybersecurity professional, a career coach, and yes, a podcaster. And you know, on the Textual Talk, we talk about everything from career advice, life advice, business advice, tech news, and much, much more. Joining us today will be the lovely Markeisha Snaith. You may remember her from the episode we did in December about the truth about tech and not letting TikTok fool you. Where today we're here in our career coaches bags and we're answering your questions. This was an Ask Me Anything style video and we answered all different types of questions. So you really want to tune in. And also, if you have any questions for us, you can send us in emails to ask us the questions that you didn't get a chance to if you're listening to this recording. So I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy being educated and yes, entertained. Mute us. What's going on, everybody?
Hey.
All right. Sorry for the wait. Shout out to everybody that's on Twitter, on YouTube. I think you accidentally came in. I don't know if that was you that came in earlier and you went live on Instagram by accident.
Me?
Yeah. Had to be you. Because then when I reached out to go live on IG, it didn't work. So I was like, pump it. It don't matter. Rule. I'll get it together.
My bad. I was live for a little bit.
But, y'all, we got one question in here already, but before we let people get in here, I guess we could just talk about like our day and some crap, you know, some BS, some filibuster crap while people come in here. Look at you. You got the good lighting going on in there.
I know, right? This is all natural lighting. It's like, no, I just have really good lighting that they put in my apartment. So,
yeah, some of these lights out of the way. Yeah, guys, we got a couple of TikToks that we're going to kind of go over. Some interesting stuff that's going on.
Everyone loves some TikTok. Better get into it before it's officially gone.
So I saw something interesting about that, and I haven't fact-checked it yet, but they said there's something about China and their export laws that will not allow them to sell or something like that. So the lawmakers know they can't sell it, so that is probably going to, you know, inevitably like kind of like fall. But we shall see, because I mean, as much BS is on there, you get a lot of useful information.
It's so useful. Like, I've been able to be educated from TikTok, and that's what I love most about it. I mean, also the trends, you can connect with people from all over the world. It gives people a purpose. And during the pandemic, I myself said that it was really keeping relationships together. I mean, a lot of couples do TikToks together. And in my opinion, business-wise, it keeps the relationship going. So if it goes away, we'll really be missing out on a lot of good information.
Yeah, I agree. Let's start with this first question as people get in here. Where is it? They joined earlier. And they said, hey, bro, can you guys please discuss how I can ask my manager to pay for a cert that isn't related to my job? I want a GRC cert, but I'm at the help desk. They have said before they are supportive, but I'm nervous they're going to suspect that I'm eventually going to leave. I mean, everybody knows you're going to eventually leave help desk.
Right. Like, that's a given. It's a start. So nobody's expecting that you'll be there for 15 years. Although I know somebody who was in help desk for about 20 years.
Right. So just get the cert. I mean, not tuition reimbursement. What's the thing where if you got to pass the cert and then they'll reimburse you for it. So even if they don't professional cover development. It, yeah. Like, see if you have that and go your own route with it. That way you won't owe them any money. You have to stay X amount of time to get the certification. I wonder what certification is it that they want to get?
Yeah, it's specific to GRC. I won't say we're speaking Security Plus, but are we talking about like a compliance specific cert? I mean, at the end of the day, you could even go about it by letting your management know that you're looking towards getting more into GRC as a whole, because it is becoming a more popular discipline or specialty, and that you just really want to educate yourself. You don't have to, I mean, they shouldn't think that it means you are going in the direction of leaving them. if anything, you are bettering yourself and you're doing good for the company, because now they can possibly move you into that type of role.
Now, you know, that's too much light, right? You know, that's too much light, right? For them to move them into a good role like that. Could make out here some. But also, people, as y'all congregate in here, if you want to be on camera, we do have a link and we'll drop the link for you. Somebody joined earlier. Did you give them the link?
Oops.
No, it was cool. I just didn't know who, like, who they were. They was going to have to just be behind the scenes until we decided.
No, I told them to get out. My bad. I was sending a bunch of links out. And I was like, no, not this one. Don't join this one. Go out.
Hey, funny enough. So one of my last snippets I did from the live stream I did with Destiny, one of them was a story about how the Amazon employee, she worked for HR. She got pipped. So the title is saying she got pipped, but everybody's reading it as like she got piped. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
Pipped. So I said the title did what it's supposed to do.
Fundamental. Right. It was very catchy.
Right. This person says, I'm currently on internship putting the network up for a new film studio. The project is coming to an end and I would like to know what are some job types to go after. I mean, you're doing some networking work. I mean, I would say anything with networking. Like, is it a specific type of like networking infrastructure and tools that you are using? You can leverage those skills that you're learning and look up specialized roles for the skill set you kind of just developed in this internship. And if you like networking, I say stick with it. Oh, okay. I thought you had something to add on that one.
Oh, me?
Yeah, but we'll get to Gene Valdez. As someone who has no technical background and studying for Sec Plus, what are some habits I should pick up to have a chance to break into the industry? This is a question that can't necessarily answer. Go join a boot camp for 45 days, and then you can get in tech.
I hate you.
Nah. In all seriousness, so I think the issue that a lot of y'all run into is y'all first go run out to get the certification without knowing what you want to do. And that's why you feel stuck. So I would advise you to figure out what you want to do after getting that Sec Plus to actually come up with a plan to learn the skills and to have a strategy to break into the industry. If not, you'll just be a person with a cert not knowing what you want to do. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I get this a lot. A lot of clients come my way and they come with certs already. And I'm like, why did you get a cert? And they're like, I don't know. I was told. And then when I ask them what they actually want to do within the industry, they have zero clue. So now you've wasted time. You've wasted money. One of the things I always walk my clients to when I'm onboarding them is to really really figure out what exactly they do well at. So I do something like an assessment where we're looking at your likes and your dislikes in your current position. What are some things that you're good at? What are some things that you want to focus on and things that you want to learn? And then from there, we can focus on what the next role for you is. But that comes through assessing, that comes through time. It's a process to get to that point to where you know exactly what suits you the best. A lot of people are chasing money, I'd say. So they're chasing the money that the roles are associated with, when they should, honestly, in my opinion, if you're just getting into the field and transitioning for the first time, you shouldn't be chasing the money. You should be focusing on what you can translate over to your next role. So think about your likes, think about your dislikes, and then start searching different roles in tech that align with that. If you enjoy being people facing, then possibly one of the starter roles for you could be a business analyst. That's just a quick example. If you don't like coding, then I wouldn't tell you to be focusing on going into programming or being in DevOps, right? So make sure you understand your likes, your dislikes, and then go from there.
Yeah, you killed that. Round of applause for you. So what we got is, I don't even know how to say this. Oh, Apollonia. I currently work in the technical support side of IT, but I'm looking to transition to project management or Scrum Master area. What are some suggestions when pivoting? I'm going to let you handle that. I know you work with like more of those types of people.
Okay. Sorry. I got to read this myself slowly. So you're looking to get into project management or Scrum Master. Well, now, unfortunately, a lot of companies are grouping the two together, which I absolutely hate. Project management is not the same as being a Scrum Master. So that is something that you have to keep in mind at the end of the day, that as you are looking for just project manager roles or just Scrum Master roles, you may find that they combine the two. So possibly one of the things that you could look into doing, and again, I don't know what the specific technical support side you mean, like, I mean, that could be anything from not just help desk, but it could also be like, you know, you could be an information security system engineer. You could be doing something with engineering in general. I don't know the specifics, but if you are looking to make that transition over, one of the first things I would advise is that you start looking at specific job descriptions for project management and Scrum Master, and looking at the experience and qualifications that are needed. From that, after comparing like 5 or 8 job descriptions, you kind of have an idea of what's needed to move into that position and look at how your skills now are transferable. Now, moving into project management doesn't necessarily mean that you'll need a cert, but a lot of project manager roles, a lot of Scrum Master roles, they are looking for people with that CAMP cert or that PMP cert or that Scrum Master cert. So that is something that I would suggest you start looking into. You can always head over to Udemy, Coursera, start looking into some project manager courses that you can take. They're very cheap on those sites. Always recommend people look at the reviews to see what that feedback looks like, because you don't want to waste time. You don't want to waste money taking courses that are not going to yield good results. And a lot of people going into project manager roles and Scrum Master roles, you need a lot of like hands-on experience. So you need to understand the scope, and you need to understand how a project timeline works and how to go about overseeing a team and pushing them forward, even when there are some issues with the project. Okay, I see what you just wrote. I have CSM cert already in project cert. Okay, so if that's the case, and you can type in real time, if that's the case, what is your job search looking like? And that also includes resume, right? So the first thing that speaks to yourself is going to be your resume. I don't know what's on your resume. Are you networking? Are you networking internally first and then networking externally? I find a lot of people are not networking internally first. They're immediately going, you know, outwards, and you should really utilize your internal network to let them know, like, hey, I'm on the market for a new role. You know, I'm currently in this position. I'm looking to move into that of a project manager. And I was hoping that you could take a look at my resume and see if you have any suggestions or recommendations to who you can point me to for me to be able to get a role. So that's sort of too where I would start with that information you just gave me. I would always advise clients in that case, since you have these certs, but you don't necessarily have the experience, what's on your resume? Because that's going to need to speak to what you're looking to do.
Oops, I have muted myself. You smoked that again.
You're good. I try to, like, when I have these free consultations, I got 15 minutes to talk to people. So I like get in, get out.
Right. See, you. I'm thinking about going to the 15. I do right now. It's 30 in an hour. But I'm thinking about doing some 15 because I guess depending on what they need. So I'm gonna use that little, you know, with Calendly, they got the thing where they can route you to whichever one you need. Maybe all they need is 15 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's actually a good, yeah, that thing on the back end. I like that actually.
This person says, other than LinkedIn, where can I find internships? Also, do I need to be enrolled in a degree program to apply? I've completed the Google Cybersecurity Certificate and currently studying for Security Plus and working on relevant projects for the job I want. So this is I wish you would have told us what job you want.
True.
I do think most internships require you to either be in school or recently graduated. I think what you would want to look into is what more like of an apprenticeship, right?
Apprenticeship.
Yeah, those are totally free. I've been seeing companies do more and more apprenticeships, by the way. I saw that other day on my LinkedIn, they had an apprenticeship going on, but they also said, so they finished the Google Cybersecurity Certificate. Okay, so I just talked to somebody that was doing that. So you need to figure out, I guess, which one of the domains that they introduce you to that you're interested in going into, which I want to assume that's what you're already doing based on your comment. But other than like LinkedIn, you can really just use Google, like Google search and type in whatever type of internship you're looking for. You should yield some results as well as. Now, go ahead.
That too. And I also posted on my Twitter a website for people who it's specific to internships. I'm going to try to pull that up and I'll let you all know throughout.
Okay. Yeah. If you find it, you can just put it in the chat. And also one of the best ways is, hey, your network. So if you got a network of people at certain companies, they can let you know when internships are coming open. And if they have a good rapport with people who are running those programs or they're killing it, them co-signing you means a lot and you have a better chance of getting an internship. Let me see. Did we miss this person? Oh, yeah. This is the guy from earlier. From y'all experience, is networking a good niche to stick to? Because honestly, I don't know what I want to do in IT. This internship was just something that happened by the grace of God. Well, ask yourself this. Did you enjoy what you did in the internship? I think that's the first thing you got to ask yourself. But networking is like the backbone of everything. Most people who are making like good money, whether they go in cybersecurity or they start going into niche areas, a lot of them had a background in networking. So to answer your question, yes, it is something good to stick into because you can always pivot because you're already very technical and you understand how networks work. Let's see. And also, guys, the link is pinned to the top of the YouTube chat. I don't know if it's showing up like that on Twitter, but yeah, if you want to come up and join that way, be our guest. Just cammed up before. If you don't want to be on cam, at least show us your face and then you can go off cam. No funny business because they'll be streaming. Now, I've seen that for real. I've seen that happen.
With what? People going on trying to go on camera?
Yeah, like on YouTube, people like do some crazy stuff and like flash somebody or something and they'll take your stream down. Your channel will be like blocked for a while.
Yes, please don't do that, y'all. I wanted to go back real quick to the internships. So I've posted some internships. Google usually has internships. Microsoft has internships. Banks, a lot of them are getting into having internships. You can also look into consulting companies. They have internships too, because like a specific path you need to take. Visa has internships.
Yeah.
So places that you can start off looking.
Yeah, I would just say look at all the companies you're interested in and see what type of programs they got. Because I know when I was at JP Morgan, I came like in the summertime and like the campus was filled with interns, like so many interns. So definitely look into that or look into like what's the one called? It's this program that people do. And I want to say it's like for minorities where if you don't have like a lot of money, they give you the skills and they are able to put you in some good jobs. I cannot think of what it's called, but I've met some people like when I was at Goldman Sachs that they did this program and they helped them get the job at Goldman Sachs. I cannot think of what the program was called though. But Mr. Smith, I want to come back to what he said. He said, we need to also consider the beginning of your tech career in the nonprofit sector. Nonprofits have paid positions for data analysts and IT specialists. I agree. With this. I've been to help desk for 2 years and I have my Security Plus and Network Plus. What kind of job should I go for next? All right, guys, look, this is what we're going to set the precedence here with. You got to ask us specific questions and not questions that we can't answer for you because we don't know who you are. Because I have some, I kind of answered these questions before already, like on my platform, about what to do if you want to help desk or whatever, or how to figure out what you want to do. So you'll have to go figure out what you like first. Maybe figure out what you like about help desk and then kind of research that. Because I can't just tell you, oh, you should go be a security engineer. You maybe don't want to be a security engineer, or figuring out what type of security engineer you want to do. So my answer to you right now is we'll probably come back to your comment if you're coming again, but figure out what you like to do first and then say, hey, how do I land such and such job versus what kind of job should I go for next?
Yeah, questions like that are so specific. Even when I do like the 15-minute calls, I end up having to tell people, honestly, if you really need that assistance with making your transition and figuring out the type of role you want to, that you should go for next, that's where you really have to utilize that career coaching service, right? Because it's time that we take to be able to help you get to that point and understand that. And it can't be in 15 minutes.
I agree. So we were with him. Okay, that's who you were talking to earlier. So she said, just trying to figure out how to navigate the landscape. Yeah, we got like a bunch of like, Markeisha and I did an episode like a couple of months ago that's on here that kind of gives a free game. Through the podcast and some other type of material I put on here, it's a lot of free game on how to navigate the market. So check that out, and that can definitely help you out. Absolutely. Does a business administration degree have transferable skills getting the tech? Yep. It's a lot of people with BAs and MBAs that are in, you know, non-technical roles and technical roles. So they do have transferable skills because at the end of the day, of course, now this is the age-old thing. If you're kind of talking about being in the tech industry or getting a tech job, I think that's like two different things that you kind of have to talk about. But most companies are still businesses at the end. So if you do know how to help the business make money or save the money and prevent them from losing money with some of that business acumen that you got from that degree, you'll be all right. Let's see. Roadmap for cybersecurity GRC. What's your background, D. Smith?
Right. Do you mean like kind of where you can get started? I mean, it's so much you can do in governance, risk, and compliance. I always tell people, again, like consulting firms, like that's kind of a really good way to get started. But in general, you can pretty much move into like an analyst position, IT analyst, security analyst, compliance analyst, GRC analyst. That's an option for you. But you really need to start getting an idea of the different frameworks, right? Because it's so many frameworks for GRC. One of the foundational frameworks is NIST Cybersecurity Framework, so NIST CSF. I recommend that's where people start. Once you understand those functions and those domains and the controls that are associated with it, then you can move into really understanding if you want to go on the federal side, you know, understanding that NIST 800 or CMMC. And if you want to go into the financial side and banking, understanding PCI, you know, if you want to end up going the healthcare route, HIPAA, right? HITRUST, things like that. You just really need to understand the foundation and then figure out what industry you want to work in. And then you can look into the next framework. Once you have a solid foundation of the frameworks, you're kind of able to like maneuver and navigate GRC.
Yeah. And a little bonus for them is, so this is one of the courses that I pretty much tell a lot of my clients about. And people are familiar with Simply Cyber, Mr. Gerald Odger. This is his course. It's like 30 bucks on TCM. Well, really, I think it's the subscription. But let me try to zoom in for y'all so y'all can kind of see it better.
You know, people are going to ask, is there hands-on experience in this?
So I have not did it, but I've had a lot of clients do it, and we've been able to get interview just purely off of how he teaches this course. He gives them bullet points after every module. And it really looks good on a resume. But for people who don't have like zero knowledge of what GRC even is, this is for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
He kind of breaks that down for them. And here is like the curriculum kind of right here. Compliance and audit work. SOC 2, NIST, like you just brought up. I think those are the two major ones, I think. Let's see what else he has in here.
So many different frameworks out there. You need to know what, you know, which route you want to take. You can get exposure to all of them, which is great, but they are specific to industries, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
you need a SOC certification, and a lot of companies need SOC certifications, but is that of interest to you? I participate in SOC audits all the time, and I'll say that it's exhausting, to be honest. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't go that route, but you really need to get an understanding of what it is that interests you.
Right. And I'll say this right here. This
threat modeling
skill set by itself is a moneymaker, because a lot of companies are moving to having people that know how to threat model.
Yes. Threat modeling. If you understand threat modeling, you are good to go. It's the same as knowing machine learning, AI, blockchain. That's the direction the industry's going in.
Yep. So as you guys can see, 7 hours worth of stuff. And even on like TCM, because somebody might ask like, oh, what else they got on here?
I'm referring to SOC, but SOCT is also a framework as well.
Let's see. I'm trying to just show all the training they got. So since we're already on here on TCM security, a lot of people are like, oh, where can I go get, if you want to learn Linux, look, they got a Linux 101 course. And look, they have not paid me to advertise this, by the way. This is just, I always send this to people because they have some good courses, like very good courses. Look, this is a cool one. Like, they need to have more courses on this, soft skills for the job market.
They sure do, because a lot of people don't have soft skills.
So they got stuff for you. That's if you're on Red Team, people are asking, like, oh, I want to be a Red Teamer. Well, here you go. They have one of the better certifications for entry-level people coming in. The what's the PMPT? I think that's what it's called. Then they got some blue team stuff right here. I haven't did this one yet, but I did this one. And I plan to do this one. And I have this detection engineering course as well. So that's what you got to do. When people typically are trying to pivot into cyber, they'll probably go do some of these courses and then they'll stop doing the stuff. But that's how like you mess up. You got to keep on practicing like every day if you can, so you can keep getting on that skill set that you previously gained. So I don't even remember over here. We need a VA in here that can keep me up with everything. I think we're right here. This is not a good question. I mean, in theory, if a person not knowing, but every job doesn't require the same amount of experience. So that's what I'll say. I can't answer like how much experience do you need in our search. I would preference this by replacing, instead of saying how much experience do you need, I would say what skills do I need than experience. That's what I would say. Because I've seen people that don't have like 5 to 10 years experience, but be at some high level roles because their skills are on the level of a person with 10 years of experience.
Yeah. And like for me, when I started off my cybersecurity career specifically, because I did start off in IT and as a whole, but I ended up moving to cyber. I didn't have any certs at all. My manager was like, I mean, can you get a cert within 90 days? Like, I want to hire you because you know how to talk well. Like, I was like, okay, sure. And then I was able to, you know, in that role, get a bunch of certs. So it really just depends.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I'm able to tell who got that that Scrum Master project management voice by the phone, who leads meetings. I can tell who got that voice.
I'm able to tell too.
Okay. I guess she might have been answering them. Yes, internships are considered as work experience. That's the way, if you're gonna go to college, that's what you need to be aiming for day one, an internship. ElkStack and ArcSight, depending on the job that you're looking at, those are, well, ElkStack is more open source. ArcSight, not as important as it used to be. It's pretty much kind of prehistoric. You'll rarely find a lot of people who use ArcSight now. I've used it before. It's not that good. So I wouldn't focus on learning ArcSight. I mean, you could look into learning the ELKSTAT, but if you want to learn how to use a commercial grade type of SIM, I would look into like Microsoft Sentinel, Splunk. Those two are like the leaders. And then there are some other ones out there, but Sentinel is like the easiest one to get your hands on because you can just spin up an Azure and start throwing stuff in it and have fun. What up, Arya? We got the link in here. You're supposed to come up. We got the link in here.
I know. I remember I tried getting her on a live and she was like, nah, I don't want to do it.
Didn't she say something like she got to find her good wig or something? I think she did.
We're going to get her on though.
Man, I think engineer just means you do all of it. You know what's funny? Sometimes people are engineers, but not even technical. Like a company, what I mean is they'll put engineer in the job title on the back end of HR or something like that to justify paying you whatever amount you need to get paid. So sometimes you're not a real engineer. You just had that title so you can get paid a lot of money. But a win is a win. A win is a win. Okay, let's see this person. Any advice for introverts who aren't very good with networking on social media? I have a degree in information technology, IC squared, and working on my CompTIA Sec Plus.
I mean, you have to build your personal brand. Like every great person who's able to just get a job and really do well with networking in general, that's because they're able to overcome that. Right? There comes a time where you just have to put yourself out there because it's what you want, right? You want something in return. You want something bigger in return. I personally don't like having to put myself out there and connect with people. It's not something that I enjoy doing, but the easiest way to connect with people is online. Like you really don't have to meet anybody in person if you don't want to. And so my recommendation for you is really utilize networking groups that you're in, utilize LinkedIn, reach out and connect with people, not just professionals that are doing what you want to do, but also recruiters. Think about that as well. Be sure to just connect with them. I mean, come up with a script to write. It could be as something as, hey, I noticed that you've been in the field for X, Y, and Z years, and I want to connect with you. I'm looking to build my network. You're looking for the same too. Something as simple as that. It doesn't have to be too difficult. You can even utilize ChatGPT to help you out with this, but you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone if you want to move up in your career.
I'm here. I'm just putting your stuff in the chat.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Let's see. What's the pathway to cloud jobs and which have the highest employed? All right, man. Go to liveupintech.com/textual and go get in the cloud. But I mean, in all seriousness, I think the first thing first is figuring out what cloud you want to get into. Pick one of the three, Azure, AWS, GCP, and focus on them. I mean, I typically tell people to like at least get like their fundamental certification, because the thing I like about cloud certifications versus other certifications is that most of the cloud certifications will walk you through labs on setting up the services and starting them and kind of figuring out a cloud environment. Then you can figure out what you want to do more of in the cloud. So that's one part of just kind of getting ingratiated with the cloud. Then the next part is, okay, just like we were telling somebody earlier with the internships or the projects, now you got to figure out how to replicate over the experience that you just gained from learning about the cloud on your resume to convince employers or companies to interview you. That's the second part, which can be the harder part, which why some people need structured learning paths to help them out with that. And the highest employed, I mean, it depends. Like you'll see a lot of people that's looking for AWS. You'll see Azure has been creeping up. I saw an article the other day that said Azure may overtake AWS. But then sometimes GCP may be the one that get paid the most because it's the smallest out of the three. So it's a little bit more niche and skill set. So that's what I'll look at. And I'll just see like what you're interested in. And then you also have to build some other skills around just focusing on the cloud in order to be marketable. So I hope that answers your question. If not, I could play the Live Up and Take ad. Oh, okay. That's what you read that earlier.
Yeah.
Cashing out. K Camp in the building. I mean, they're pretty much all interconnected. You can't really have one without the other. See? Yeah. Shout out to Tam. Tam, if you want to come up, you can come up too. All right. This is my cousin right here. Oh, JJ. What advice do you have for an artist with no backgrounds that wants to get into DevOps? Well, I kind of just answered the question. I think Lo was the first person to answer that question. So, yeah. And since Tam is in the building, I'll also add go learn Linux. Go learn Linux. Linux, Linux, Linux. Linux is going to take you far. I just told somebody that earlier in the consultation. But that's how you start off. And shoot, you're an artist. You pay attention to detail. So there's some stuff you can do in the cloud. What is he? What do you mean? What are a few important skills about what?
Like just skills in general?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, being analytical, being able to communicate, being a team player. Or do you need more technical?
Yeah, I don't know what he's referring to when he's asking. I guess he got to be specific. Let's see. Any tips on escaping help desk? Currently taking courses for CCNA, hoping to someday be a network security engineer. I have done many mid high level projects within the current company as well. You can leave help desk right now if you weren't scared. You didn't did enough, but you got to put yourself out there, and then you have to make sure your resume is not reading help desk. So that's the biggest thing. I tell people, hey, we doing 6 months to a year, and we getting out. Because if you stay any longer, you're gonna keep on getting pegged in that hole of help desk. So you got to go to a resume wizard who can help you embellish a little bit that, you're not just a help desk analyst, that you was working at IAM, you're a system administrator, you was doing networking. As long as what you did that you told me you did and you understand it and you can explain it, lines up, put that on your resume. They're not going, when they do the background check, they're not finna check and see, oh, what are you, a network engineer? They're just going to see, did you work there? That's all they're going to do.
Right, because you can have so many different titles at a job, but what are your responsibilities?
Travon said you are that tech. I agree. Thoughts about boot camps? I'm coming from a social work background. Transition isn't easy. Oh, do you want to talk about
boot camps?
do you have I mean, it's so much, man. So I know that y'all saw us playing online talking about getting into tech 45 days and six-figure jobs. I'll put it like this. Anything that seems like it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Now, if a program tell you, hey, I can't promise you that like in, 3 months, 6 months, that you're going to guarantee to get a job, but it's going to like either help you land a job eventually, like roll with that because nobody can guarantee nothing. They can't. Now, when it comes to boot camps, you want to, of course, maybe you want to look at the price. Maybe you want to look at what's being taught. Does it interest you? Does it fit your learning style? Testimonials. How many people have actually gotten jobs? Are they real people? And I know people laugh at me when I say, are they real people? But I've seen people pay some people to go read some testimonials, and I could tell it's fake. So you want to talk to real people that's taking the boot camp. Like in everything, granted, sometimes just because it didn't work for them doesn't mean it's a bad boot camp. Sometimes people have gotten away with their own success and the boot camp is bad. So now if you hear everybody that took a boot camp say it's horrible, then it might be trash. But it's going to be people who are successful and people that weren't. I told somebody the other day on a call, I was like, yeah, all this good stuff I'm telling you was good, but your success is going to be real contingent on you. You're going to have to be the person that's still putting the work and the extra work to go the extra mile. If you don't do it, you'll just be a person that paid for some resources but don't get anywhere. Like, that's kind of my thoughts on boot camps, like, as a whole, like, if you want to address them. Because you know, you have the notion of people just saying, you're going to pay this high price ticket or whatever. But I'm like, whether it's $30,000, $15,000, $2,000, if it gives you your return on investment eventually, none of that matters. That's the best.
I agree with everything you're saying. People need to look at the return on investment, and they also need to set their expectations and be realistic. And I think we'll probably get into this a little bit later on, but you know, when it comes to boot camps too, like if the boot camps are offering you some type of hands-on experience where if that's your learning style, like you actually need the hands-on, like those are things to look for too. I know you already mentioned that, but I think sometimes people, they just focus on, oh, this person put like this review, or, oh, they said that in 45 days, I'll be making 300,000. Like, does that make sense to you? If, I mean, it's just like the obvious. It's like somebody sending you some spam and say, hey, we have somebody for ransom, click here. Like, are you really going to click there? Like, you have to think about things like that. So you want to make sure that you're vetting the boot camp. You're vetting the person teaching the boot camp. You're vetting the business. Because at the end of the day, not everyone can be trustworthy, but you do need to have some discernment there.
I agree. And what I do sometimes for people, they'll do, if they're not too sure, they'll send me a curriculum or a link and say, hey, what do you think about this? So send it to a professional you trust. If you're not sure about it, send it to them and see what they say. And that they say, you know, it looks solid, or I'm not too sure. Or sometimes I say, hey, I haven't heard much about it. Let me look at it. And I'll say, okay, cool. And I'll tell you, I think it's straightforward. But then I'll say, I don't know. I got somebody else that can show you this. So why don't you go do this first and then go do this?
I had a client recently, and anybody who's following me on TikTok, excuse me, not TikTok, but you could follow me on TikTok, but Twitter, follow me on Twitter. Like I mentioned this, I had posted 2 pages out of 4 pages of a resume, and the individual was seeking a DevOps engineer position. Now, this individual was a client from years ago, like 4 years ago. And when they came back to me and asked for resume help, as well as job search assistance, I was like, okay, sure. And they sent me their resume and I was stunned. Like, I could not believe what I was seeing. You all are going to have to go over to my Twitter to see what I had posted. But the resume was so unprofessional. There was use of pronouns. There was run-on sentences. Formatting was incorrect. Font was incorrect. You could tell that the person literally went on different job posts and just copied and pasted. And I asked that client, I was like, are you serious? Like, have you been applying with this resume? And they said, yeah, they took a 9-month boot camp where this individual also offered some hands-on experience. And I was like, 9 months, that's great. Like anybody who says a boot camp is like 4, 5, 6 plus months, like, I think that's great. I think the 6 month and up range is really good for a boot camp. But they had mentioned that at the end, the instructor redid all of their resumes. And so the instructor was responsible for this very long resume. And I couldn't believe that they paid $4,000 for this boot camp, but of course they were also offered that resume help and that interview help, which obviously wasn't getting them anywhere because nobody was going to sit and read a resume that had over like 50,000 words. Like it was just OD. And when I went on that individual's website to get an idea of what exactly they're selling, of course, I saw things like, oh, learn how to get a job paying you $380,000 a year by taking this 3-month to 6-month course, or find out how my students now make $700,000 a year after taking these courses. And of course, it was upsetting because this is the stuff that, you know, Henry and I talk about as career coaches. Like, there's people who are selling dreams. There's people that are telling you like, oh, take this course and we'll do your resume and we'll get you to the next step. But after you take the course, you're kind of stuck after that resume part, right? And it's for certain reasons. Those people, like, not everybody's a resume writer. Not everyone understands the job market. People are not recruiters. People are not career coaches. They don't know career development. When you're looking into boot camps, you need to be asking them these types of questions. And it needs to make sense to you. People will over-exaggerate just to get your money. And sure, $4,000 for a 9-month boot camp isn't bad. But now this client is having to pay me more money because they can't get to the other side. Now they're stuck. Now they're feeling some type of way because as we're going through the resume and I'm tearing it apart, of course, I'm always transparent. Now it's like, wow, I don't know if I should have paid this money. I probably should have just came to you. You would have pointed me in a better direction. Absolutely. I do this for a living. So you really need to take all of those things into consideration. And that's my TED talk. But I did tell y'all, if y'all came on here, I would tell you exactly who it was.
Yeah, I was actually, I didn't feel like doing the legwork of like sending it to my email and stuff because I sent a Markeisha one that I looked at last year. Dude paid like $10,000 to get like 3 CompTIA certs. I swear that was trash. I was mad for him. But at the same time, I'm also going to tell y'all, like, while we're like in like, kind of like in an intermission state that, let me go solo. I ain't went solo the whole night. Let me try to see if I can look at y'all. All right, there we go. Now in 2024, the tricks that worked in 2020 to like the end of 2021, maybe early 2022, do not work anymore. You know, back then they were just hiring people. You could put some BS on your resume. You can get hired at a good job at that. Now, I want you to look at how many of them people that was hired then are open to work. Now, some of them got lumped in with people that deserve, I won't say deserve to be fired, but in the sense like they know they shouldn't have been doing those jobs. But a lot of companies now are kind of condensing salaries a little bit. They're not as high as they once were for certain people. Like if you're in that entry to mid range, teams are being leaner. They require you to know more. And also the glamorous remote work is really only so far reserved for the people that either got an elite skill set or certain companies that know, hey, we can't compete with the big boys, so we need to be remote. So you got to take all these things in mind now of like, if you're trying to take all these shortcuts, they're not going to work like they used to. People lucked up and some people are still here, luckily, but them shortcuts, they no longer work. You got to know your stuff. They are really being tougher on these interviews because they got to make sure, hey, if they finna invest $130,000, $150,000 into a person, they're going to make sure they know what they're talking about. They're not finna just hire you off the strength of how they were hiring people in the pandemic because they were making, you know, a lot of money. They're not doing that anymore. So I just want to let you know that. I've said that on the vlogs. I've said it on episodes, but all the live people that are here, like, just realize you got to put in the work in order to get paid what you want, and then you'll be all right. But yeah.
I mean, should I expose them? Or it's like, I did promise people I was going to expose them. I don't care about exposing people because it helps everybody else in the long run. So if you're thinking about going the route of this boot camp, please don't buy Landmark Technologies. I don't guarantee, as a career coach, you should not be guaranteeing people jobs. You should not be guaranteeing success. Like, we cannot guarantee, like surgeons cannot guarantee that they will save every single patient that comes in, right? We need to treat it the same way. So when you are guaranteeing things, that's a red flag. You'll never see me say, I can guarantee this for you. What I will say, in my position, I am here to help guide you from point A to point Z. But coaching is 20% me and 80% you. So if you're not willing to put in that work, we're going to be stuck at point M and we can't get to Z because you aren't doing what you're supposed to do. No matter how much I push you, you have to put in that work. So when people are guaranteeing things, that's a red flag too.
Yeah, always. Like, listen, y'all just watched the Super Bowl. Andy Reid went out there throwing them dimes. That was Pat Mahomes, but they were drawing the plays up. And so Pat Mahomes got to execute. Just that simple. Can you skip the help desk? Yes, you can. What's the ballpark minimum needed to start your own firm? Any advice for tech entrepreneurs? I mean, what type of firm?
Minimum? I don't think I had a minimum. I mean, I've been a business person for a very long time, since I left high school. You just have to go off and just do it.
Yeah. This actually goes into the TikTok I sent you with the lady.
Oh, yeah. Talking about
the remote work wars.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. You have it? Can you pull it up or no?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, let me share that. All right, y'all. We finna react to a TikTok. It's TikTok time. Here we go. I'm gonna share that. Can you hear that?
I can't.
You can't? I thought I shared it with the audio. Okay. Let me stop sharing. Because I need to hear that thunder.
Yeah, we hear that.
Yeah, it said the audio was shared with it.
We'll try it again.
Okay, let me make sure it's turned up enough. What about me?
Nope. But it's fine. We could definitely summarize what's said here.
Yeah, I want to see if the chat can hear.
Can y'all hear it in the chat?
Let me see. I'm just going to play it and see what they say.
Someone said change the source. They can't hear it either.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be a StreamYard thing because it's supposed to share the audio. Everything is being routed through here. They should be able to hear it through the mic. I don't know. I ain't gonna fool with it, but we can summarize it. We can summarize it because it'll just get to a freaking IT thing where we're trying to freaking troubleshoot it. But in essence, she was talking about she's a Gen Xer and how when they was in the workforce, they was forced to go to work and wear these suits that they could only wear to work and nowhere else. And always the boss wanted them to be on time and try to ding them for being late, but they would be staying later to finish work, and how that morphed into Gen Xers turning into our managers and saying, hey, we're going to do business casual. We're going to implement flex time. And the premise of all this is like how everybody's complaining about like remote work. And we know a lot of people moved away from the city in the pandemic because, hey, you can go get you a much cheaper house, you remote. So a lot of people didn't think they was going to have to ever come back into the office. But I did read something the other day. It is pretty cool to kind of pay attention to now in your job offers. I believe it was like, make sure your job offer said like you'll always be remote and like not have a chance to come into the office, or get that in writing so you can be good. Cause sometimes they will force you into office. Cause I saw, shout out to Texas New Black though. He had some recruiter guy on there and he was talking about how he said Rainforest, but I'm gonna say he was talking about how Amazon will play games on getting people to come to office. Like you stay in a lower cost of living area, like a Charlotte or something, and they'll try to get you to move to Seattle, knowing that you probably can't afford to move there. And talking about, oh, we'll give you, you know, $5,000 to move there. And, you know, that's enough for you. And so they're pretty much going to be a way for them to just kind of make you quit without like actually like firing you or laying you off. So it's one of those things. But to get back into what the woman was saying, she was talking about how this is going to force people who want to start their own companies without having typical corporate structure in the office building. It's going to force them to start their own remote cultures. And we've been seeing that. It's like a lot of companies that's really remote and they don't have any office. So I think that's going to keep on expanding and that's going to work to the benefit. And it's going to make the competition go back up for the best talent. So that's kind of what the gist of what that video said. I want to react to it, but I guess the videos aren't what's called it. But I actually can send you the links in the back chat and see if you can share them. Maybe it'll come out on yours.
Maybe. This is my first time using this StreamYard. I actually like it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
I'm going to be doing some podcasting myself.
I know you got the official Rode Pod mic over there.
I know. I got my headphones too. No, but she also talked about the market. And I know that's something that people are talking about now. They're kind of worried. How's the tech market at the moment? And I think the market in general is trash. But
you think so?
I think so.
Or is it like, I think it's like trash, but trash will be for only certain individuals.
Well, yeah, I was about to get into that. And this is where that personal branding comes in. You know, take Henry, for example. If you go on his LinkedIn, he has so many followers. He's consistently posting. He's consistently going live. He's consistently engaging. He also has on his profile things that showcase his value. So when a company is looking to hire their next employee, they are going to find a profile like his and reach out because that profile is optimized. He is engaging. They're learning the kind of person he is. People like that are going to not struggle as much in this job market because they are continuing to network and they're continuing to utilize their social medias for what it is. It's not just about having a resume. It's being able to show to people the value that you can bring. At the end of the day, this is money. And people like companies like to see LinkedIns because not only are they able to gauge your experience, but they're able to learn who you are as a person. And with that, for certain businesses or certain roles that you go into, like let's say for sales, for example, or let's say customer success, they need to see how you are able to navigate things like LinkedIn, things like social media, because those are platforms you'll be utilizing to be able to gain more clients.
Yeah. And while you were talking, I put like the link in the chat, like if people want to get access to the group coaching, because that's stuff I talk about. Like you said, that brand, the networking piece of it. When people are talking about LinkedIn, it's a reason why I'm telling you to stay on LinkedIn, because it's the only platform where, you know, you could possibly be like a janitor acting with a C-level exec. Like no other platform is going to let you interact with people like that and you can get access to them. And so, I mean, of course you can do it on Twitter and Instagram. I've networked with like every place I network everywhere I go.
Everywhere, grocery store, the gym, I'm networking.
I started laughing because I thought about the little TikTok. It's like that Memphis nigga everywhere I go song. That's how I started talking about networking everywhere I go, like putting down the shirt. That's funny.
You can't be afraid to put yourself out there. Like, I'm an introvert, honestly, I am. But I also realize that closed mouths don't get fed. They've never have.
I think it's a misconception too about introverts. I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, feel like introverts don't like people, when I don't think that's like the basis of like.
Yeah, that's not the case.
But they always say, I'm an introvert, I'm antisocial. You're not antisocial. Like, do you really know what antisocial is? Like, you just, I don't know. I know the older I got, I sure be like, if something takes too long and people got too much energy and I ain't on that level, I'm like, bro, why am I here?
Right. I'm out. Like, no, that's just too much.
Let's see. What are we getting to?
I don't even know where we're at.
I found it. Yep. What's going on, Lawrence? Lawrence puts out a lot of good information on his TikTok as well as Twitter. And I want to say, I could be wrong, Lawrence, but I actually been meaning to get with you and possibly get you on the show. But I want to say he started his a different career later in life on coding and stuff. I could be wrong, but I want to say I'm right. And he talks about that and helps people like kind of like how they figure like getting into a job like with coding. This is a good one. How can I make my LinkedIn more appealing to recruiters? I despise sharing personal information on the internet. Describe personal. Are you referring to like your jobs or whatever? Because I mean, you can make the jobs that you work at confidential. You can do that. I say be searchable. So all the stuff that we were talking about earlier, we may even have time to like pull up a job description or something. But those skills that are needed for the jobs that recruiters are looking for, they need to be on your LinkedIn. Some of them need to be in your header. You need to be posting about it. If you did projects, put them on your LinkedIn. They have you can literally add a project section on your LinkedIn now. This is your digital resume.
It is. And I'm also a firm believer of being able to make your, like, turn your resume into a video, which I'm actually going to talk a little bit more about that on my LinkedIn next month. So you definitely want to tune in, but you have to stand out. It's not just about that paper format anymore. I get not wanting to share your personal information. I'm the same way. I specifically don't like sharing the companies I have worked for and the clients I've worked for, but there's other ways around that. If you don't want to make your companies known, you can definitely hide that information, but still post, you know, the things that you did, the metrics, the value that you add.
Yep. And you'll notice when you make some slight tweaks to your LinkedIn, everybody be on it. Also, make sure you're open to work. That's one of, like, the easiest things to do to make sure you can get contacted on LinkedIn.
And you don't also have to- paying for LinkedIn. That's another one.
I don't know what you say.
Paying for LinkedIn. Most people don't want to pay for it. I mean, when you pay for it, you end up getting a lot more features that go with it. And you're also showing up higher on recruiters' dashboards. So,
yeah, I think I have mine by way of being a LinkedIn content creator. So, okay, here's a debate. Green banner or no banner? I say no banner.
No banner.
Dang, I wish we had somebody else here for the banner. my reason is for it is I always tell people, I like to play like this mind game when it comes to companies. And like, even though it's not like you're desperate or nothing, right? But everybody know when you're in the dating world, if you're a single person or whatever, for whatever reason, you get like more of the opposite sex when it seems like you ain't trying to get them. Like if you're taken or something, for whatever reason. Like, so when normally when you have a job on LinkedIn, that's like you could post you got a new job. And in 5 minutes, five recruiters going to be in your inbox for whatever reason. So it's like that. They want to get what they can't have. They want to feel like they're getting somebody that's wanted. And so that's like one of those little value games you can play. Like you don't have to have the banner behind the scenes. Recruiters can see that it shows open to work. You can always toggle your open to work on and off every couple of weeks just to refresh it and help you get closer in the algorithm. But I'll just say go like that. Just act like you're still working. They ain't got to know. Because then sometimes they try to, oh, this is the one we can talk about real quick since it's tech advice. Remember the other TikTok I sent you, the chick was talking about the red flags. And one of the red flags she was talking about, like, companies trying to ask, hey, what your current salary is? I'm like, why do it matter? Asking somebody what your current salary is asking somebody you getting with, like, who you messed with before me. Ain't got nothing to do with you. So if they ask that, say, hey, what I'm currently making has no bearings on the role I'm interviewing for. Tell them that. See what they say. Who is this? Oh, yeah. Wow. Lots of views on Twitter. Yeah. We like, I don't know why. I think nobody got nothing to do right now on Twitter, but we smoking on Twitter right now.
Oh, wow. I haven't even checked.
Your hair is fire. I love Stephen. All these beautiful people in the cloud. What up, Shay?
Thank you.
You got to schedule our call so you come on the pod. Also, Shay is a really dope content creator, especially when it comes to TikTok. She's really helping people get in the cloud and talking about her background. And that's what my show is built off of. People that has like interesting ways of getting into the, the tech. And funny enough, a person who thought I was going to fall for their pivot being so interesting reached out to me. If you ever seen a person with an accent talking about getting into cybersecurity in 45 days, this is who I'm talking about. I'm gonna tell you guys right now, I do take this platform very seriously. It's not a podcast payola platform, so I won't have people up here that I don't deem to be credible just because they want to pay me some money to sell their service or whatever they got going on. So if you thinking about reaching out to me, and I know you fugazi, please don't. Because I'm not going to reply to you. I hope you listen to that. I didn't reply to him.
I know you won't call him out, but.
Ain't no reason to, because people won't go look him up. They know. They know I made the episode that's saying getting into cybersecurity in 45 days is a lie. They know you can't do that. on a rare occasion you can, but not just, oh no, not only get into cybersecurity in 45 days, get into cybersecurity in 45 days and have multiple six-figure jobs.
Yeah.
Can't promise that.
That's how you make that $700,000 a year.
Yeah. Look, you being a millionaire, but you say your students make more than you. Make it make sense. Stay consistent.
Wow.
Stay consistent. Tell the truth. Let's see. Okay. It's Tim. Okay, that's what he was saying. I found you. He was talking about on Twitter. So from Dallas, you're doing a great job. Good point. You don't always need tech skills to be in tech. Yep, I agree. Advice from me. Just started a job as a data center support specialist. Congrats on that. A part of the disaster recovery team under infrastructure team. Have the AWS solution architect, associate cert, and want to work in cloud or cyber. I mean, you're already there. Matter of fact, I think AWS has stuff that's geared towards the data center, if I'm not mistaken.
Sorry.
I think so. I can double check that. I'm going to let you rock his question while I go research that.
All right. Let's see. Just started job as data center support specialist. Well, congratulations on your new job. I do like disaster and recovery. I love working with those teams. Not a lot of people know that you can work on teams like that. Have the AWS solutions architect. What is ASSO, sir?
Oh, associate.
Associate. Sorry. And want to work in cloud or cyber. Let's see. So for someone with that particular cert, you're kind of going down the route of being a security architect, solutions architect. You can kind of squeeze in there. Is that of interest to you? In my opinion, security architect, I do that now. I actually love being in that role. I'm very hands off. I'm only called in when needed. And I get to work with a diverse set of teams. I'm also able to not really have to be super, super technical in my position, but what helps me is my background in compliance. So I know all about the frameworks. I know about the controls that are needed. I understand the foundation, like networking and computers and stuff like that. So you're always needing to apply those particular skills to that particular role. And you can be making upwards like 300K a year. They pay very, very well in security, well, for security architects.
I was trying to see if this was it. I know I seen it. It's something like database, data center, some type of certification, but you can
know right here.
And here are all the specialty certs right here at AWS. So you got security, machine learning, data analytics. Data analytics is slept on in cybersecurity, but I'm telling you, if you like manipulating data and you good with SQL and Python and all them other languages, look into security for data analytics.
They're paying very well. I'm working with two clients now. One is coming from like working for Pepco, and they're moving into a data analytics position. It pays very, very well.
Let's see. I could be wrong, but I'll probably try to get the right answer for them when it comes to data center stuff. But they definitely on a good track with the data center. Is Sec Plus a must? No, but if you do want to go after some government roles, it's a good thing to get, because it's like one of those requirements, and it just helps you get any type of role, and you get paid a little bit more than other feeder roles just for having a Sec Plus. Oh yeah, so Diamond Gabriel, we actually answered your question at the beginning of the episode. We were saying if they won't pay for it, see if they'll do the reimbursement for whatever certification you're trying to get, and rock like that. But that, you know, while you're in help desk, what you should do is see all them tickets that you're routing everywhere. See where they're going and who's fixing them. Connect with them people. And that's the underrated gem on help desk, where you can figure out what you want to do and how to do it. Start shadowing them, documentation, you name it. What y'all that sipping on? Is that a Celsius, a margarita? What is that? Oh, okay. I thought you was drinking a Celsius at 8:20. I was like, are you trying to be lit?
No, I didn't want to do that to you. I do have a whole bar behind me, and trust me, I really wanted something to drink.
Previously was in IT asset management for 7 months, and before that I did field for 3 months. You technically, I mean, I consider asset management and GRC. So, I mean, technically you are like in cyber, because Quadus has kept like so many companies' asset management is, you know, garbage.
Yeah.
Big trash.
I mean, I have laptops still from companies I left.
We done with bad asset management. See, Tam, no, listen, I'm telling y'all, go watch my episode with Tam. We did it like two years ago. She was saying, I titled it like, they said getting her at $300 an hour was a steal. Go watch the episode. Listen, I don't have cappers on my show. I got the real deal. There you go. Look at this. All this good advice in here.
Yeah, shout out. Excellence.
How do you feel about the product management roles? I see more and more folks pushing that overall. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like product management. I think in product management roles, you don't have to be too technical, especially on that security side. I work with product managers now. And really, the only thing they're doing is making sure that the development team is delivering exactly what the client wants. And if they're not, they're, you know, communicating that to all of the teams. So I think it's a really good role if you like being client facing, if you also like solving people's problems, you kind of like to see the reward at the end of a project. I think product management is a good role to get into.
Yeah, I've been seeing that, and I've also been seeing a lot of security technical program managers to where they're looking for somebody that was technical to come help lead this program for what they're working on. So I've been seeing that as well. Let's see. Working in the SOC with very toxic culture, looking for new SOC roles, but not SOC. What are some roles you all recommend? I don't know your skill set, but I will tell you, a lot of people try to lead a SOC because of one bad SOC. But if I was to tell you, you could make, what, $300,000, like working in the SOC, you'd be like, sign me up.
Right.
Yeah, like, trust me, my DMs be hot, but I can definitely show y'all on the back end of, like, what actually comes through of working in the SOC. If I could show you, if you can make $200,000 working in the SOC, you'll say where. So I would say it's probably just the environment. Everybody been in a bad SOC. My first SOC I worked at was trash, big trash, and I got laid off from there. But one thing I say is when you're in a bad environment, you learn everything not to do, and you do better in your next environment. So I'll just give you with that. I mean, but if they not SOC, you know, security engineering, incident response, enterprise security, you got data security, you got different things in GRC, vulnerability management, threat hunters, penetration testers. I mean, it's a lot of different roles out there. All right. So we got AF Comics in the building. They want to come on the stream. So let's welcome them to the stage, everybody.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
Oh, cool. What's up? How y'all doing? How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank y'all for asking. So I guess my question would be real quick is that I just recently started like the Google cybersecurity program, like the subscription. And because I eventually want to be a pen tester. But I know you don't necessarily jump into the role you get in from the jump. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out like a roadmap of what I can do to, like, you know, make that more streamlined to get to where I want to be.
Okay. Have you looked at the type of skills a pen tester needs?
Yeah, they offered some certifications for I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but I got it written down. It's called the EJPT. Yeah, right. That's one of the certifications they offer. I mean, they recommended I should take. After I finished this initial introduction on the Google Cyber Cert. So I was planning on doing that, but they also offer like CompTIA, Security Plus, A Plus and things like that. So, you know, did y'all have any recommendations or anything like that?
So earlier I was on TCM Security. You could definitely check out their site. They have like a lot of training materials. They got a real good one. The PJ, I want to say it's a PJMPT or something like that. But I like that cert because it's practical, and how you pass it is they want you, whatever you have to, I cannot even think of the words on the tip of my tongue. I was drawing a blank. But whatever you have to do in the penetration test, you have to present it and also write up a report. Because a lot of people don't realize like what they're really paying you for is that report or the findings. And so that's a good one. I would say definitely learning how to script would be one. Really understanding OSs. So I did an episode with my guy Xavier. We did two episodes. So the last one, he kind of talked about this stuff, like knowing about Windows, learning Linux in and out, kind of just knowing what Linux looks like at rest, knowing what Windows looks like at rest, knowing what Mac OS looks like at rest. And then you got to also now, they'll be looking for people that do this stuff in the cloud, knowing about the cloud. So probably fixating on like one cloud and getting good at that. So those are like a lot of different things you can do like at one time or just learning them. But you got to pin them down, write them down, get your projects, maybe try to get some type of internship. And you don't necessarily have to be in school to get an internship. I actually should have answered that earlier. What's my guy's name? From Kenya Nave Security. He's doing some good work out here, hiring interns and giving them shots in cybersecurity. So he's on Twitter. I got to find his Twitter name and maybe put it in the chat. But he's a guy that gave one of my clients a chance. And speaking of, my client had to present his pen test report the other day for Kenyon's company, and he killed it. So it's also just going to take you getting some experience and some time. But like those are some things that you can also get good at, as well as, you know, writing, presenting, and then adding your own little flair on it, being able to market yourself. So because that's going to be the hard part of like getting into like a pen test role. It's like, how do you sell them that you really know what you're doing, and how do they believe that? That's going to be the key, because there may be somebody that may have a little bit more experience than you. So those would be some of the things. And then I think there are like some roles that you could probably do before even doing pen testing, like what, assessors, vulnerability management, asset management. There might be some other roles you can do, but they can kind of tie into your experience to kind of help you out and understand what you see maybe in different environments to kind of add to your, you know, your experience.
All right. Cool. I know they recommended like Python was the language a lot used to learn. Yeah, so
it's a good scripting language. Python, learn PowerShell, learn Bash. Those would be some good things to learn, because they definitely going to want you to know how to script every time when it comes to that. But now you got Microsoft Copilot, you got ChatGPT. Those things can kind of help you. Hey, maybe ask the question, can you describe a, you know, pen test scenario for me? What would be some first things that I would try to do in a pen test or something? And kind of go off of it like that and just get something to work off of. And the biggest thing would be getting on something like a LinkedIn or something and finding fellow pen testers and maybe buying them a coffee or a drink and picking their brain to figure out like, okay, this is where I'm at. What else do I need to do to get to here? Do all that. But don't ask them to mentor you. Let them choose to mentor you.
Understood. All right. All right, man. That was my question. You know, I really appreciate your time.
All right, man. Anytime. I appreciate you for showing up.
Thank you. Right.
You're welcome.
All right, man. Now we got Mr. C Jizzle in the building. Let's ask C Jizzle.
Yo, what's up, y'all?
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Nice. So my question is, so prior military vet, Air Force, got out, have a degree in criminal justice, transitioned into DOD tech, worked for L3 Harris, DRS Technologies, worked on the F-35, different testing programs, all that stuff. Had a security clearance. From there, I transitioned into tech sales, became a solutions engineer, recently got promoted into operations, and now I'm a small to medium business team lead for client success. So right now I'm also in WGU doing my bachelor's in cybersecurity, information technology. And of course, you know, that comes with all the certs, A+, Net Plus, all those other things. So Andre, I know you speak on this, depending on your background, you should pivot to certain areas in cybersecurity whenever you kind of figure out what your skills are. So with that being said, and my background, where do you think I should position myself into trying to get into the tech field?
Man, you
well, cybersecurity field.
You're doing a lot. So sometimes the easiest things I do for people like a background like yours is I sometimes try to tell them just to pivot doing what they're already doing, but at a security company. Like, for example, today I met with a company, like one of the sales guys and the sales engineer for this platform called RangeForce.
Okay.
That's in that space of cybersecurity, but you still, like, even the sales engineer has to understand the stuff to help. If I was the person that wanted to get a new platform for my company, he has to understand the things to know what we're talking about. Like, he brought up MITRE. He brought up AWS. He brought up it was something else he brought up in the presentation. But he's still in cyber. That's what he's doing. And something like that is an easier transition. Now, if it came to you wanting to do, like, okay, let's ask you this. What are you trying to
Cybersecurity analyst or maybe a system administrator or even cybersecurity engineer. So okay. It just depended on, you know, kind of where I land and gain that experience into getting into the cyber field.
Got it. So why you want to be an analyst?
Kind of from my law enforcement background, from when I was in the Air Force, I was a cop. And so those physical security functions, you kind of do those in the digital space. So that's why I want to do that vulnerability penetration testing. So all those things you can do in the physical sense, you can just do those now in the digital sense.
Okay. So I heard you say some good stuff, vulnerability management. I worked with a prior cop before, and I believe she's doing some threat intelligence now.
Okay, cool.
So that's something to look into. If you want to look in blue team, you got like SOC type of work. Like reason why I also asked you about cyber security analyst, because it can mean multiple things. One of the better ways to figure out what you want to do is take a skill set that you may see on one of these jobs or something. And like, I do that and I add, like, for example, you can do what some of you said earlier. So for example, we can do either an industry or we can do a job site. So we can do like cybersecurity and Splunk or something. So then we start seeing like all those different jobs related to Splunk. That's one way. Or I know you said you was in law enforcement at one time, but what else did you pivot into the companies that you work at now?
So I worked at L3 Harris. So that's DOD. I worked on the Space and Airborne Systems on the F-35. Doing testing for their data linking systems. And I also worked at DRS Technologies and I worked on the weapons program for them.
And so you could probably do the same thing. You can do cybersecurity and DOD and just see what comes up that you may like. And I want to presume you already got a clearance as well, right?
Yeah, from when I was at L3 Harris, but that was 2 years ago. So it's probably like in that inactive stage. I got it about 2 years ago.
I know mine inactive. I ain't used it in almost 10 years.
Yeah. But
I mean, that's cool. I mean, as long as you got it, they probably can reactivate it like no problem.
Right.
So yeah. I think that's a way to look at. And like I said, if you really like, you know, vulnerability management, then look in a tool like I think Qualys has a lot of free training. So look into a Qualys, look into a Nessus and see if that's something you want to be interested in. Stay up to date with the cybersecurity news and see if that interests you, because that'll definitely be something they will ask you if you're looking to go into some vulnerability management type work. I think also you could probably get into like, you know, sales engineering. I think you may like that as well too. Kind of like just displaying the technology and knowing about it and really like selling. Well, the products really sell themselves, especially if it's something you know they need. The only thing that may like get you sometimes maybe like price, but most of the time it's not like trying to get somebody to buy a car.
Right.
Right. I appreciate it. Thanks, y'all.
Any other questions?
No, that's really kind of all the questions I kind of had. Just really appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for coming on here and really doing this. Thank you guys so much.
You are very welcome.
Hey, what's your shirt say?
Big Worm.
I knew it. I was like, man, this man's shirt say Big Worm.
I appreciate it, y'all. You too.
Bye. Right.
Later.
Let's see.
You have a lot of good questions.
Yeah. Boot camp success is hard to measure because the top students usually walk in knowing half the stuff already, but they never tell you that because they want that rags to riches story. You know what? That's actually a good point. Some people do go into boot camps knowing at least something. They have some type of foundation, which brings me up to another important thing. If you have no type of foundation in what you're trying to go into and it's a lofty price and it's a short time frame, I don't know if that'd be a good move for you to do, because you're going to be trying to catch up to people that may be far ahead of you and you may not understand the concepts. And then you'll be doing the Arthur fist that you spent all this money. And that's a good question. I mean, good point. Boot camps really only work as hard as you do. It's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep. Hey, Sunny.
Yep.
Learning Furnished style.
Congrats, Nazir.
That's awesome.
Congrats, Esco. Will I am. Oh, my gosh. Working in SOC currently, but leaving to go back to school for grad degree. What are some good majors you all recommend for IT space? Cyber, cloud, ML, AI, MIT, SE. I'm going to say AI. I'm also say AR for augmented reality. You see that that's what they're pushing with the meta glasses and all that kind of stuff. So even though they only have, see, some of these majors, they don't even have like smart home technology, IoT type stuff. They don't have some of that stuff either. So. But those are things to look into because they're being adopted more and more. Electric cars. One of the companies I interviewed with like 2-3 years ago, Woven Planet, they were hiring somebody for their Tokyo location to be like a SOC lead for their smart city. Like, you know how cool that is? Like, they so far advanced in us, it's ridiculous. All right, we got Katie and Kevin Durant in the building. I'm thinking about doing CompTIA. Then auto and getting a help desk job to gain experience of fundamentals, then become a sysadmin. Is that a good path? All right. If you want to get a help desk job, I'm going to show you what thing you need to get. So we'll put the link in here. But y'all need to get this course, careers course right here by Josh Madicore. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. All right. Y'all bear with me. Your browser block your screen. There we go. All right. So y'all need to do this course right here. And I got the link for y'all. I'll put my link in the description so y'all can access it. But this is one of the better IT courses out there. It's $500. You can pay in fours. And if you don't like it after 2 weeks, you can always get your money back. But I want to show you that what it covers. And let me zoom in. Y'all see the goat down there? I got to get him on the show right here. But he teaches IT fundamentals, IT day-to-day about working tickets, common issues. Technical deep dives. Now look at this stuff. This is better stuff than you're gonna learn in the CompTIA A plus.
Yeah.
And you also do labs on this stuff. So this is what I would recommend anybody to do if they are trying to get in help desk, get this first and then go find out what you really want to do. That's what I would say. So that's my question to answer that. Who is this? What are some ways someone can be more marketable for a junior software engineering position? What issues are you running into?
Like, are you in that position already?
I mean, marketable. So one thing I'll show you that I teach people about too is visibility. That's an underrated thing when it comes to working. Now, it's a hard thing. It's not too hard to do when you're remote. You just got to be strategic about it. But visibility is what you need. That's how you can be more marketable. What's your projects at? What you worked on? I would love to see more into HPC. This is high performance computing. That's a good one. That's a good one. What should you expect after passing the Google Cybersecurity Professional Cert? A cookie. But in all actuality, nothing, man. You now you got to, they're trying to set you up to take Sec Plus, but I would say you learn some type of skills in that course if you actually did it to learn and go back through it and see what you really liked and then find a domain you want to get into. That's what you really can expect from it. I like how shallow yet thorough that course was. And I did a review on that course. So if y'all want to see the review, go to my page. I did a review on the Google Cybersecurity Certification. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, GovTech is a legit route to get in the tech industry. We talked about it earlier by getting your SEC Plus and some of the certs, and then those entry-level feeder roles, like in the government tech role, pay more than a normal role, and it's easy.
Yep.
Because it takes a long time for them to change technology in the government. Long time. How do you feel about going back to a job you left after only about a year? Sysadmin currently, my old boss reached out to me about a sys engineer position he's fleshing out. Did you go on good standing? Did you like the company? If you go back, add the double tax on them. Like, tax them. Like, if you go back. Also, how's the company? I'm assuming the company that you at now, you don't like that much to even entertain your old boss. And I'm pretty sure you probably liked your old boss. You probably just left because you wanted to get some more bread, which is understandable. That's what we all do. So I would say tax them and go for it. I mean, I don't know how long you are in your career, but get that money. Let's see. Yep. It's real being an IT 20 years. You have to be strategic. Yep. Shout out to Kyrie, man, the GRC GOAT right here on TikTok. This is facts.
Yeah.
Facts. We're not talking about this enough. And they should just, hey, listen, all boot camps, just hire. You deserve IT consulting to do your resumes. Work a plan out with her.
Right. Like, there should be no reason why an instructor who their best skill set is to instruct, isn't to teach, is doing resumes. Like, you can't be a SME at everything, right? You can't be a subject matter expert at everything. You know, hire somebody who knows what to do and they've been doing it for a while.
Right. You can shout out to her, or you can look at the resume bay, or my girl Tiara Swain. I only do certain type of resumes, so I normally be like, go to these people, because I'm like, I'll work better with like the more technical things, even though I could do some that are non-technical, but I just know what type of skills they look for in the technical roles. Okay, here go Esco again. I landed my first help desk job. I'm stuck at the fork in the road between mastering software engineering or cybersecurity. Yeah, a lot of cybersecurity roles are looking for like security engineer developers on the low. So there's definitely a way for you to be a software engineer and be in cybersecurity. You'll see the roles. Just start looking at security engineering roles and you'll start seeing a lot of overlap with software engineering, even though they're like two different roles. So I would just say whichever one is the easiest for you to pick up now, pick up that one, go that route, and then pivot into the other. So software engineering gets easier for you right now because it's a little bit more linear. Do that, then pivot into cyber. All right, Lawrence, I'm glad you was in here. Be easy. I don't see anything upsetting about this. If individuals want to purchase those services, they would get what they pay for. I mean, I agree, but not true. If somebody spent a lot of money and then they got some trash, like I said, I've showed a resume of somebody that paid $10,000 for something and that resume was garbage. That's not a get what you pay for thing. That's a ripoff. So it really just depends. And a lot of people don't have the insight to know what's a good deal or not when they're getting into a boot camp, because it's like me trying to go be an astronaut or something. I don't know nothing about being an astronaut. And somebody say, you can be an astronaut in 6 months. And they upcharge me. Meanwhile, the real astronaut know what I really got to do to be an astronaut. So I'm trying to make it like as easy sound as possible. But that's what the limit is. You got people. I've mostly seen people who like are like in professions like truck driving and everything else try to make that pivot. And because they don't know anything, they really get swindled on different stuff. Oh, this is a good one. How do job seekers navigate unrealistic job descriptions? So when recruiters reach out to me and either it's unrealistic or it's not clear about what they want, I typically say, hey, what is a hiring manager looking for? Like, what are they actually looking for? And that's when I'll get a simplified answer. Because if it's too much, I'm like, y'all want me. Or sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, I done seen somewhere it's like a job for 4 or 5 people, but they want one person. I'm like, I'm good.
That's how they get you.
I'm like, I'm good. And the money may be enough. It'd be like not paying enough money and want you to do multiple things. Too many factors make a guarantee for every student. You're welcome. Tech Bay Rosalind. I think I said that right, Rosalind. We're trying to get into data analysis. What other roles can I apply for? I got to know your background to know what else you can apply for. I just keep it like that. I mean, one of the easiest roles with data entry and stuff like that. I don't think it's like a...
I mean, there's also business intelligence I've seen. I think it's business intelligence. It's kind of related to that too. But yeah, I mean, we have to kind of know more. It's kind of hard to...
This is a good one. If you have your own LLC, can you use that as IT experience? Yes, because a lot of jobs don't say your experience got to be paid.
Right.
But it got to make sense. I think the hard part for you trying to use that as experience is like, is your LLC work going to replicate stuff that you would do on a real job? So if that's not the case, then that may be the issue you run into when you try to have your LLC like with your own company. So, but be a little strategic about it. If you learn some stuff, try to go partner with some nonprofits, some churches or something, and do some work. It'll count. That's how I see it. Yeah, so everybody said no sound earlier. So I'm really, this is like stuff was like 40 minutes ago.
I know, it's so much.
What is this lady's name, social media on a podcast right now?
Oh, me? Oh. Yeah. Can you actually type that in there? Do you know it by heart?
Yeah, it's in there already.
Oh, okay.
I put your LinkedIn in there too.
You may have to type it again or something.
It's in there. Let me make sure I don't butcher it.
And then also probably my Twitter.
Yeah, I'm just going to do Mastodon.
People always ask, people are like, what does that mean? They think it's like combined. No, it's actually Masterdom, which means the ruler of all things. So
I can see, I think that's your alter ego.
Who knows?
You think that's what you're going to turn into one day? We have a vigilante on the loose, everyone. Masterdom. Out there with an outfit like Miss Incredible. Okay, so I just posted her stuff, Sierra Shanae. Hi, I saw your video recently. Great content. I have a background in tech and decided to come back, but I'm okay with doing help desk work once I pass my Security Plus exam. How would you go about this? What's your background? I don't know how to answer this. I don't know what you know how to do, because you may not have to even have to go to help desk if you already have some type of background. Hey, bro, write tech titles on TechG's Viz discussing coding phase, cybersecurity comments. Oh, yeah. So we touched on that in the last live stream running IP config. We listened to it. What? We were listening to TechG video, but pretty much it was this guy who I think he got a course he's selling. So he was just kind of like, man, cybersecurity is boring and all that kind of stuff. And TechG was reacting to it. And I reacted to what TechG was saying. But also, I think he hid that video too, IP config. So I can't even really react to it the way I want to. So we couldn't find it. Now, if he ever privates the video, I'd be more than happy to, you know, react to it. I'd be more happy to just get him on the show. Like, though, why are you talking about this boring? Because just coding all day can be boring as well, too.
For real.
She said, there's a lot of empty office buildings. I know the banks are mad as fuck. Yeah. I mean, they're mad, but it's also... So one of the RTO things is sometimes a lot of them don't believe it's going to be more collaboration, but they promise some of those cities, hey, we're going to have high earning people in these offices and it's going to help the economy boom. So I know last year Ian and I reacted to an article with New York about like they was losing like billions of dollars because of people's working remote. So it's one of those things. So it's always about the money. It's always about the money. I'm in school for CIS. I guess it's an associate, but for cert, should I do the CompTIA ITF? Neither or. Do the one I just showed y'all, the course careers joint. When you say that you can make jobs confidential, do you mean from certain people or is that not a possibility? People are so weird these days. No, it'll be confidential for everybody. Like, my LinkedIn, it says confidential. People are like, what's confidential? I'm like, it's just confidential. People are weird, and I'm on here all the time. Like, my man was on, like I said, two episodes ago, that the chick called Clyde's job because she didn't like what he said on Twitter, trying to get him fired.
Every time. See, people are really gunning for you. They want to see you. They want to see your downfall.
That's crazy. That man got a whole family, a young kid at that. You want that man to be fired. You don't have to listen. You ain't got to interact with nobody on social media. If you don't like it, just block them. Got an IT internship for a Gov contractor. It's 15 an hour and can I obtain my secret clearance? Hopefully worth it. It is. Like, just put your head down and focus. Like, you'd be surprised. Still some people that don't make 15 an hour. So,
right. Like, and the fact that you're able, you know, to obtain
the clearance,
that's, I mean, definitely well worth it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, shoot, that 15 might turn into 45 real soon.
Exactly. I've seen people with certain clearances. They don't even care if you know how to do the work. As long as you have the clearance, they're putting you in there. And you got to figure it out, but you got a job paying well.
Right. All right. We got somebody else in the background, Mr. Jordan. Let me see who this is. We're going to add him here. What's going on, man?
How you doing? How you doing, Mike Keisha?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. It's tech. I'm just asking some questions. I was in a coaching call last December. I don't know if you remember me, tech. I just had two questions. So I had my first service desk interview today. That went real well. But you said it was like a contract role and all that. Wanted to ask, I know you should negotiate all the time, but like, say like you're like really green, you don't really have too much under your belt, just some projects and probably like studying a cert. Would you still like go hard on the negotiations in that part? Even if like the money's still like cool.
Absolutely. Because this salary gonna set you up to ask for the next salary.
Word.
That's why you come to a professional if you like kind of nervous about negotiating. Because if they are saying they want to offer you, they already like you. So they are expecting you to negotiate something. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't get like a whole bunch of money in the first negotiation, if you get a little bit more, that's just a step in progress. Because most people that's going to the new job, they making more than people that's been there. And it's 2024. So you just got to make sure that you get your just due when it comes to these jobs.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking, like, okay.
I wouldn't do nothing outrageous, but like there are templates you can use and saying, you know, based on like your experience, your skill set, what you bring to the team, on market rate, yada, yada, yada. No,
yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah, because I know, because I'm in Philly, so like the average help desk wise is around like 50K. So, I mean, anything under that, you know, free game, I could just ask for more. But the other question was for later down in the road of my career, what's like, if you know, like the reality of having two different like tech jobs at the same time, like two different remote jobs?
That's a Patreon question. I mean, so one of the things you kind of want to just make sure, like, no conflict of interest. I really would advise people like to at least get their first one and know what they're doing, master that first before trying to do anything extra, because you can run into problems like that. So that's what I would kind of tell you to do on a short answer. If you want, you know, a longer answer, maybe get in the Slack and ask me instead on here. But yeah, that's definitely, I mean, There are better ways to do it. Ideally, you would want to possibly do like C2C or something versus W-2. But yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it, but just want to be careful.
Yeah. Because I was wondering if I should tell the employer or not. I mean, that's later down the road. I can worry about that. But yeah, that's really all I wanted to ask today. Thank you so much for answering.
I know. Anytime, man. Anytime.
All right. Hope you have a good one.
All right, man. You too, bro. Yes. My boy looked like Kevin for the shy. Had the man blushing in the dark.
No, but those are good questions. People are always afraid of negotiating. Honestly, if you can't negotiate for yourself, who's going to negotiate for you, right? So I always shoot for the stars. I'm like negotiating queen. I love to negotiate. It's my favorite part because the ball is in my court. And at the end of the day, they want me. And the whole recruiting process costs a lot of money. So I've had companies come in talking about, oh, we can only pay you $115,000. And I'm like, cool. Like, I knew I wanted more, but I don't care about that because I only care about the negotiating part when I get the offer. And I've been able to negotiate upwards $50,000 more. So I know my worth. You should know your worth too. Even if you're green and just starting out, like at the end of the day, these companies have the money to pay. And every single time you go and you ask for more, it's crazy how they come back. They may not be able to meet what you are requesting, but they're going to come back with more. So imagine if you never asked, that money would have just sat on the table.
Nice. I was scrolling through the questions, so I wanted to try to answer some because we're going to get ready to wrap this up. It's getting late. I want to shout him out for the super chat. True from Troy. Salute HD. Your videos helped me land my first tech role a year ago. I'm expected to get promoted to sysadmin soon. I'm pivoting from social work. Hey. Hey, shout out to you, man. I tell everybody, just put the work in and your career about to blow. That's literally all you got to do. Literally. Ooh, this is a good topic of mine. I think we might end on this and a couple of pleasantries. What do you think about the blue team level one cert? It's my favorite certification for people who want to be on a blue team because the certification is a practical test where you're given a real scenario that you have to pass. So that's my favorite deal of a blue team. And it's becoming more regarded. So more security personnel is respecting the security blue team. And I've been seeing it on different job descriptions. So getting that means a lot because people know to pass it. You got to know what you're doing. So that's why it's like the best blue team certification you can get out there. All right. We got the last person that's coming up. My guy, William Draper, man. He's been a big supporter of the Patreon and the channel. So let me bring him up real quick. Yeah, what's going up, man?
Hey. Hi, Marquisha. How are both of you?
Good.
Good, man.
Good. Hey, so really quick. So Marquisha, you were in GRC before. Is that correct?
Yes. I still dabble in GRC now, though.
Okay. So someone kind of wanted to get into risk management or kind of evaluation. Mm-hmm. For instance, my wife is a program manager in aerospace, right? So when she works with like Tesla or SpaceX, right? They're super strict on their cybersecurity evals, right?
Yeah.
And because she works in manufacturing, someone has to come out and do like a site evaluation. So how does that, or what kind of role would that be in? And like cybersecurity, GRC, do you know anything about that?
Sure. Yeah. So it sounds like you're speaking more on the risk assessment side, like the assessor side, security assessor. You may also hear information system security officer. Sometimes those people too can come out, usually on the assessor side, when they're coming out and they're doing their assessment against the particular framework. That is actually a really good role to get into if you are looking to make a transition, but it does go back to needing to understand the different frameworks, the different cybersecurity frameworks. And as I mentioned, like very early on, NIST cybersecurity framework, so NIST CSF is the foundational framework that I recommend everyone get familiar with. It has 5 core domains/functions kind of, and then they also have 108 controls. It's very basic controls, but it helps you to understand what some of those security controls are like looking for and what really needs to be in place. And then as you move up into different industries or to different practices, you can expand upon that by looking into different frameworks. Like if you want to go on the federal side, the NIST 853 or NIST 171, which is moving towards CMMC. If you want to be on the banking side, PCI. But that's a good start to be able to look into making that transition. And then I think there was another post or a link went out about a course to take specifically for cybersecurity or compliance, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was posted in here. We'll make sure that it's posted before we, you know, end up leaving. But that's a good foundation to start at because it gives you some, it gives you a step in the right direction of GRC as well.
Okay, and then really quick, this is to both of you. So my boss, he's a network engineer, and he was saying you can use something like ChatGPT to write a script for PowerShell to like program a switch. You can do things like that almost as a kind of a, I guess you could say a life or workplace hack. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can do that. I just want to make sure you don't put any company proprietary data in like ChatGPT unless you got like the private instance, just to make sure that none of them get exposed.
That's right.
Yeah, definitely use ChatGPT if you can. Any of that AI is obviously is there to teach you. You can learn a lot from it, but you want to be careful what you put in. You don't want to put any sensitive data in there.
Of course, probably run it in a VM instance. So really quick, and I'm only addressing this because a lot of people were asking about roles earlier. So can you use ChatGPT to break down job descriptions? Can you ask, hey, ChatGPT, explain this to me. Like, what is this job asking or what do they want in this role? Explain it to me like I'm a third grader or something like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And also when you use AI, it's really dependent on the person and the types of questions that you're asking. So you want to be very specific in how you ask those questions. The more detail, the better.
Yep. I agree.
I can see you all, but I'm driving, so I might be breaking up.
Oh, did you catch that last part?
If you didn't catch it, you can just mention me on the Patreon and I'll give you the answer. I'll put the replay of this in the Patreon pretty soon.
Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Later.
There's been lots of great questions that have been asked. I hope we were able to get through a good amount of them. I mean, at the end of the day, you all can also, you know, head on over to LinkedIn, hit me up. I'll give you my link to be able to book a consultation. There's plenty links in here. If you all have more questions, you can always ask us.
Right. Yeah, these are some good questions, man. It's getting late, but we definitely have to do this again. I'm glad we had like such a good turnout of people. I've put Markeisha's stuff in the chat. You deserve it. And I'll have to make sure it's in the description so you guys can go check her out if you want to hear more from her. And we had one last super chat, and I just wanted to at least highlight them. And they said, load the content. What would you suggest as a job hunt platform when looking for positions? And LinkedIn is not the end all be all. I just like LinkedIn because it can be the equalizer or sometimes showing me who the recruiter is. Everything else, what you got, people use ZipRecruiter, Dice, Indeed, Clearance Jobs. And it's like all these other job platforms that other people use. I've seen like so many different posts about them that I don't really use just because I'm in a different position when it comes to my career. But also, I mean, tapping in with the staffing agencies, Apex, Tech Systems.
Robert Half.
Yeah. So tapping in with all them is a good way. And hopefully that answers your question. I didn't think it was going to be so many people asking all these questions towards the end. And, you know, we really have been going for almost 2 hours straight, but.
I know. I don't think the live was supposed to be that long, but we wanted to stay on to be able to answer as many questions as we could cover. I mean, we could be on here for 8 hours straight. It's like a full-time job.
Yeah, but I appreciate everybody that tuned in, everybody from Twitter that tuned in with us. I appreciate y'all. Y'all really did y'all big one. Appreciate all the YouTube subscribers, new YouTube subscribers. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. We got some good stuff going on. If you thought, you know, Markeisha was good on this, go check out our old podcast episode, The Truth About Tech, and Don't Let TikTok Fool You, where we really gave it up on there as well. But like I always say, until next time, let's stay textual, and we out. Peace.
Bye.
All right.